Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Freeman holds it. Larkin's got Kane now in that spot near the net. There's a shot. Score! Sider. The Red Wings have put up 7 on the Sabres at 7-3 with 5:29 to go in the third.
More enjoyable conversation, the Sabres right now or the Players' Championship? Where do you think we should lean here with Brian Koziol, host of Tee to Green on Saturday mornings on WGR, and also, almost always, our post-game host? Brian, would you have gone into broadcasting if you knew this would be the Sabres post-game life? Would you? I mean, you're also a teacher, at least, so you have that.
I probably would not have signed up for 14 consecutive seasons of broadcasting meaningless games in the second half of the year, I guess, if I knew it was going to be laid out to me that way. Every year I get sucked back in with some sort of reason of like, oh, well, they changed coaches, so maybe that. Or, if you know what, they got the number one pick again, or they changed GMs, or, you know, I guess this year was, oh, look, they got a new scoreboard. That'll keep me entertained for a while. Like, I don't know.
They got Lindy.
Right.
And they got Lindy. That's right. That was supposed to be the change. And in some ways, he improved upon what they didn't do well last year. They were terrible at starting games last year, and now they're one of the best first period teams. And I guess they were terrible at home. He says we're going to improve our home record. Well, they improved that too. But the problem is the other things that they were actually somewhat decent at last season, that all went by the wayside. They're bad on the road. They finish games terribly. They blow leads, and their goaltender last year that maybe we thought might be a number one goalie now looks very below average. So I guess you can't have it all at the same time with this franchise.
Right. You mentioned the scoreboard. Did you happen to see, I mean, you know, it's hard to stay creative and funny when it's been this bad for this long, but I saw like screenshots of Skinner watching his video and someone captioned first player in NHL history to watch his tribute video on a scoreboard he was traded for.
I did see that. That was hilarious. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he gave the big Skinner grin like always. Yeah. But yeah, that was a perfect caption for that picture for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, things, you know, last night obviously got off the rails. I mean, they scored late to, you know, in the second, to, you know, okay, going in the third period, and then just the wheels came flying off. The one thing I think you could maybe take away from the game is they seem to have gotten the memo about defending one another, at least mostly. I still got big problems with Matias Samuelsson sort of just waiting around like, dude, people are mad at you about this thing. Just grab a little guy and start hammering away, and we'll love you again. But they were pretty eager, I think, to defend themselves a number of times last night.
I would agree. I mean, the Bryson hit definitely was a questionable one, and Tuck ran right over and got into a fight with that. I mean, ultimately, I would probably say the biggest responses were from probably two guys that we might even want them to shy away from, like, dropping the gloves, and that was Tuck and then later Thompson.
Yeah.
When Norris kind of got shoved to the ice. But, you know, I guess you can't fault those two for doing it, and we always are calling them out for not sticking up for each other. So Thompson and Tuck led the way. Benson's in there taking on like three guys. And that scrum when Norris got pushed down and Thompson kind of got it started, Benson was in there.
Yeah.
But that's the one that I also noticed Samuelsson too.
Yeah, right?
He's like just kind of like drifting there. And
right.
He kind of like, I guess, puts like an arm on the shoulder of Kane. And I'm like, look, you're not, catcher Kane's not going to fight you. But, I mean, try to at least like, you know, pull on the jersey a little of somebody right here just to make it look like you're at least invested.
Really want to see that. Go back and watch it. Benson goes around the pile to get to where Thompson is. Because Thompson, you can see it right away. Like, Thompson is eager. He drops the gloves, but he loses his balance right away, and he's in a bad place. He's on his back with a guy on top of him. And Benson is like, eager to get, like, he's heady. He knows, like, that's the guy I got to go save or at least help. And yeah, Samuelsson's just watching it all, like, oh, is anyone gonna? I mean, just dude, I'm done. Like, I don't like to overreact to that stuff, but that's a couple of times this year, and especially with what happened, you know, whenever that the first Thompson thing was against Jersey, to have that again last night, and just like, the light's never gonna go on. That's just not acceptable at all. Like, I don't need you to be beating people up all the time, but geez, show up.
Exactly,
you're 6'3", 220. Like, do something.
Right. You're not going to get hurt. And you, like you said, you don't have to necessarily start just flailing away at people to get the respect that maybe we're all looking for here. But just look like you are engaged in that situation and aware of that situation that, look, I'm bigger than anybody else on the ice here. And Detroit's got a lot of guys that aren't going to do any damage to me. At least get in there and you know, pull on a jersey, hug somebody hard, like push them down, like something. And after that, you know, Thompson had a high hit against New Jersey when everybody said this will never happen again. Darlene said, and Samuelsson even himself owned up to saying that that was bad. I can't believe that a guy that wears a letter that size. I know the NHL is still not what it was years ago, but
sure.
Still, there has to be some sort of feeling that, like, you are just there for each other in some sense. I don't care what sport this is, and he just doesn't seem like he wants to buy into that. I don't know if because he's had injury history, if he's very, very gung-shy about doing any of that, or if it's just not in his makeup, but it's not a very good look, again, for the biggest guy on the ice that wears a letter to me to just seem like he would almost rather do anything other than get involved. He tries, it looks like, in some sense, just to avoid that at all costs.
No argument from me. To the golf. So, big sort of packed leaderboard. 6-under, 5-under, 4-under. I've got 10, 11 guys there. Scheffler at 3. What stands out, if anything, here, Brian? Is it that the scores are this low or no?
Yeah, I think that there's some impressive scores there. There's a lot of players, as you said, all bunched up here together. There's a little bit of a flashback of maybe like a decade ago with the two guys at the top with Vigegas and Glover. I mean, these are guys that have been, you know, working hard just to stay on the PGA Tour. Vigegas himself had so many off-the-course issues with injuries and issues with his babies not even, you know, not doing well on life support and all this sort of thing. So, I mean, like, he's had a whole life off the course that he's been dealing with. And Glover, who, of course, is a former U.S. Open champion, he won at Bethpage, has been a good player, but he's a guy that if he disappeared for, you know, 5 months in a row and then came back, like, that's, it wouldn't be surprising. That's just kind of, I think, where those two are at their career. But McIlroy, to me, still is always interesting to talk about, always interesting to watch. He just made 4 birdies in a row here just before he came up and parred his last hole. So he's right in the mix. Batia is a young player that I think is pretty likable, a lefty guy that I thought was in the mix quite a bit last year. So, and this stage at this course is one that I think makes this tournament great, because even if you're just a casual fan of golf, you at least likely know how this course finishes with the wild par 5 on 16, the famous island on 17, and then the extremely tough 18th hole where you're driving it around a pond that wraps all the way around. So it's a good finish. I think when you know the course, it makes for even better drama. And the course looks just, you know, perfect on TV too, which I think is great. But yeah, Scheffler's right in it. McIlroy's right in it. I mean, those are probably two of the biggest names that people would want to watch as much as possible.
Yeah, the course has so much to do with it here. I mean, obviously the field. I mean, it's long been talked about as the unofficial fifth major. Isn't that right?
Yep.
So I totally get that now. I don't think before I got really active playing myself and watching golf almost every weekend, regardless of whether it's, you know, the Mexico Open or whether it's the Players' Championship, I'm watching the golf on Saturday and Sunday at some point or another, because that switch has been flipped for me. This now I feel it feels bigger than Arnold Palmer's thing even last week, which was bigger than any of the other stuff, you know, the whatever, the Valero and all that. So I kind of get, I guess, for the first time, the fifth major idea, because this feels big.
Yeah, this is the PGA Tour's biggest event. I know sometimes people forget, like, the PGA Tour itself, like, they don't run the Masters, they don't run the U.S. Open, the letters PGA makes it confusing, the PGA Championship's not even run by the PGA Tour, that's the PGA of America, those are all the golf pros across the country that run that event. So this is their biggest stage, this is their biggest purse of the season, and it's their strongest field that you'd get on any PGA Tour event. So, yeah, I think that's what makes it extra special at this course, that every year they seem to make the stage have a grander feel, the stadium kind of feel around some of these holes here at the end with how they built up some of the grandstands and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's really, really good theater. Even the fact that you've got some storylines coming in, like no one has ever three-peated in a row at this event. So Scheffler's got a chance to do that. This, of course, last year was where Scheffler was like in the midst of starting his dominating run. He had already won twice coming in, including at the Arnold Palmer, and then he won here, and then he went on to win at the Masters. So he was really, really going. You know, officially this year, you'd say maybe Scheffler's down, even though he's had a couple of top fives already, because he hasn't won in 2025. I know he hasn't played a ton of events, but out of the handful that he does, he still hasn't won yet. So probably for his standard, maybe he's off to a slow start, I guess you'd say, for his season.
All that winning, and then it was only that traffic incident at the PGA Championship that upended his momentum, if you will. Brian, thanks. Might want to check in with you tomorrow if you have a few minutes.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. We'll set it up.
Okay. Brian Koziol on the West Hur Hotline, PGA Players Championship, I should say, Sawgrass ongoing. One guy just made a triple on the island green, which is not an island. I live on an island. You can't get off the island without that bridge. Without swimming. This, I believe, would be a peninsula or something where you don't have to take a bridge.
Maybe they should replace that strip of land that leads to the green with a bridge.
With a bridge.
Then it would truly
then
be
you
an
have
island.
It. That's right. Then you would have it. That's right. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back after this. This is WGR.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship you'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that.
Like, well, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
What's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog runs the TV in here. Thanks for thinking of changing it to a different soccer game just now. And thanks for getting here on time. It's already 1-0, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did all I could. Well, I could have done better. I didn't look at the TV. I was busy answering emails.
Oh, yeah?
No. I was distracted during the break on my phone and on my desktops here, and I didn't notice until the open started. I looked up at the TV, and there were two people talking about football on the channel. We had been watching your beloved Dortmund play.
BBB.
And win. And,
big win.
And I went, oh, well, obviously this channel's not carrying the second leg of Champions League today. So I immediately went to look for Tudden. I don't have the Tudden number memorized yet, so I had to just do it the, you know, just scroll. But we
you should have to remember the number in Spanish. Since it is a Spanish-speaking network, which doesn't mean anything to us because the volume is down. Quattro, baby.
I don't think I am ever going to forget that. No, I will have that forever now.
You'll know it now. Chris Trapasso, do you speak any Spanish, Chris?
I went all the way up to AP Spanish in high school, but that was kind of a long time ago now. I do not really remember anything. I feel bad I didn't retain any of that information.
People do tell you how easy it is to pick up new languages. Like we've run ads for years about, you know, different companies offering that. Okay. No excuse for me to have not done that yet. I bought one. Portuguese.
All right, look
never
at you.
Opened it.
Yeah.
Never even opened it.
I did the high school Spanish thing, but then I also took three, like Spanish 101, 201, and 301 is maybe what they were called in college when I was at Buff State.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't remember any of it. Creo que estoy embarazada, I think means I might be pregnant. And for some reason, that always stuck with me. It's not really functionally useful for
who
me
knows what
personally,
reason.
But that just sort of stuck. I think it's close anyway. But that's all I really have.
Okay. Chris, bang on job here getting this mock draft up for us to discuss today at CBSSports.com. Before we get specific to the Bills, what are a couple things that are different about it?
About this mock draft?
Yeah. What's changed for you to whatever extent?
Well, I still have the Giants trading up for Cam Ward. Abdul Carter going at 3 the week before, right after the combine. I had him slipping a little bit because of the foot injury. And then Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at 6. It had been, in most of my mocks, Ashton Jeanty to the Cowboys at 12. But after everything that the Raiders did, chief among them trading for Geno Smith, I had them going Ashton Jeanty, and actually Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round, which is not necessarily something that I think is guaranteed to happen, but reasonably early. We're still like 2 months away from the draft, or, you know, 6 weeks away from the draft. I wanted to see what a first round could look like if Sanders doesn't go in round one, because crazier things have happened. We remember 2 years ago, we were all sure Will Levis was going to be a first round pick, and he ultimately wasn't. There have been a bunch of quarterbacks that has ultimately happened to, and I think a lot of these quarterback landing spots have dried up for Shedeur Sanders at the start of free agency and even before with the Geno Smith trade.
That sounds right. And by the way, you don't have a different quarterback, too, in this first round. It's only Cam Ward at 101. What odds would you put – this is maybe tough because there's so many teams who could have different – would have different opinions. What chance might there be, though, that a different quarterback is picked before Sanders? Besides Ward?
Yeah, I would say probably 20 to 25%. There could be a team that just loves Jackson Dart and the fact that he was a big-time recruit and was a 3-year full-time starter under Lane Kiffin in the SEC, very productive. And I think we talked about it a few weeks ago that Jalen Milroe is being negatively impacted by what happened to Anthony Richardson and how disappointing he was in 2024, but it wouldn't be totally out of the realm of possibility for a team to say, I like Jalen Milroe's traits and his upside and his Jalen Hurts type ability as a quarterback over Shedeur Sanders.
He is by far the most dynamic runner of this quarterback class, right? Like, it's not even close, Milroe, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is dynamic. Like, I don't know, would you like, close to Lamar Jackson, or is that too? Am I going too far?
No, I think he is right between Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. He's not quite as shifty, and I think in a straight line, he's not quite as fast as Lamar Jackson. But I don't think you're far off. Like, he's closer to Jalen Hurts' body. He's got a little more weight on him. But there were some runs at Alabama over the last 2 years where he looked like low 4.4 type of guy with like 40-inch vertical type explosion. And we just don't see that very often at the quarterback spot.
Well, how surprising. I don't want to spend any more time than this on him because I'm crushing on him, as you referenced already a couple weeks ago. But how disappointing was it that he didn't do anything in Indy, or did he throw?
He threw, but I tweeted when it was announced that he wasn't going to run. I was like, this was a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Like, with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, like, literally doing nothing, they didn't even throw. I was like, man, go out there, run 4.41, 40-inch vertical, 10-foot, 5-inch broad jump, something like that, some crazy numbers. Do everything. Do the 3-cone and really sell yourself as the project that you want to roll the dice on, because the upside is through the roof, especially compared to Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, who are not particularly great athletes at the quarterback spot.
Genty at 6. So Raiders, Dallas, Denver, I think, is another one. And you mentioned Pittsburgh, putting Hampton at Pittsburgh's pick. There are some teams where if they go with Genty or even Omarion Hampton, maybe someone else, I guess it's really about the draft capital. First round and a running back. Man, Chris, as a fantasy player especially, I want to believe that this guy will play all the time. You know, like the way Bijan Robinson didn't when Atlanta drafted him and Arthur Smith used Algier so often on that team. So any thoughts on like Raiders, Cowboys, Broncos, Steelers, maybe there's someone else, how they might be? I mean, you've got two of those teams drafting running backs here in this mock draft. Just right for running back, which I know you feel the same way. Generally, it's not where you'd be wanting to spend a pick on a running back first round.
No, totally not. And what would be so ironic about it is, in 2021, we were all like, the Steelers are probably going to pick Najee Harris, and their offensive line is not very good, and they think that this super talented Alabama running back was going to fix all of their run game woes. Now, he did go over 1,000 yards in each of his first four seasons in Pittsburgh, but he didn't really give them the proper return on investment for being a first-round pick, and now he's on the Chargers. So if they did that and then ultimately turned around and then at pick 21 said, we're going to replace our former first-rounder with another first-rounder, it would kind of be a weird situation that they haven't learned from their past mistakes. The one thing that I'm not as high on Hampton as a lot of other people. Like Daniel Jeremiah thinks he's, I think in every single mock he's had Omarion Hampton in the first round. But he did catch 38 passes last year for almost 400 yards, which I do think would add to the intrigue for a back that went over 1,500 yards, 6 yards a carry in each of the last two seasons at North Carolina. But any of those three teams have a blatant, clear, telegraphed running back need where we might see more than one running back in the first round.
CBS Sports NFL draft and NFL player analyst Chris Trapasso with us here for his weekly visit at this time of the year on the West Her Hotline. So turning to the Bills, Chris, let's see if we can sort of team up what's happened so far in free agency with what it could mean to the draft. We've seen the Bills be pretty active on the defensive line already with the signing of Bosa and the defensive tackle today. We've got a safety that I'm guessing is just a depth, break glass in case of emergency type guy. Overall, what they've done, of course, Josh Palmer, how much, if at all, does it impact what you'd expect them to be looking to do when we get to the end of April?
Well, I can't say that I could predict the future, and I knew that at this point when I was talking to you guys, the Bills would not have signed a corner yet, but they haven't. And that's who I have going to the Bills in my most recent mock, Trey Amos, the cornerback from Ole Miss. 6'1", 195, 4.43 speed. Not incredible production in the SEC, but good enough. He's got long arms. He can play.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And coverage. So to kind of answer your question, it feels like everything they've done to this point, and we're, 13 minutes into the quote-unquote new league year starting, even though we know all these moves, that's the one position that to me is glaring, especially after trading Kyir Elam. Hats off to Brandon Bean for getting picks for Kyir Elam. I'm shocked that he was able to do that. It feels like right now, if you had to handicap it, it would be cornerback would be the biggest and most glaring need for the Bills. And it feels like, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago, back end of the first round, after your Travis Hunter goes, that's where we could see a bunch, and where I have a bunch of cornerbacks graded in this draft class.
Do you think there's anyone out there still on the cornerback market? My answer to this would be Asante Samuel Jr. Maybe there are others that the Bills could sign that would alleviate that, right? Like, to me, if they go get Dane Jackson, a former Bill who got released by Carolina, I'd still be thinking corner. Samuel might be different. Like, that's, you know, or even if they re-sign Rasul Douglas, who I believe still has not signed anywhere as we're speaking now. Is there someone out there on the market that could push you off of this Amos idea or corner in general?
That's another good question. The only one for me would be Asante Samuel Jr. I think anyone else would be more of a, all right, you need depth. You just need some more bodies in that room. Asante Samuel Jr. only had a shoulder injury last year. He didn't tear his Achilles. He didn't, you know, tear an ACL where you think, oh, maybe he doesn't have some of his explosiveness that he showed early in his career where it was a very good start for him with the Chargers. He's not a great tackler. He's a little smaller, but he plays on the outside. He's feisty, a lot of pass breakups, 6 interceptions throughout the course of his career to date. He would be the only one that would make me, I don't want to say go completely off a round one corner idea, but would alleviate it. Anyone else, unless there's someone blatant that I'm forgetting that's still available, I think that he's the only one that would really make me think maybe they would go maybe nose tackle in the first round or edge rusher or really, you know, whoever is the quote-unquote best player available, regardless of position in round one.
What is the depth at cornerback in this draft? I believe Amos is the fifth, if you include Travis Hunter, the fifth cornerback to go in your mock. Like, is it a year? And I'm asking this just remembering, like, Benford was picked so late, so it's not like you have to do it early, and Elam was picked early. But is it a year where you'd want to get a cornerback in round one, say, or definitely by round two because of, you know, A, what the depth is in the class, B, just sort of the common sense, like, you know, if you want a starter out of this thing, you'd probably want to draft him early.
Yeah, good question. I don't think that this is a draft where you need to do that. And it's, and again, pardon if I've said this before, but what's interesting about this cornerback class that after Travis Hunter, you have Will Johnson from Michigan, who did not have a good final season. Their shorter arms than expected at the combine, did not show as a really reliable tackler at all in that last season with the Wolverines. And then you have a few players who were injured. Savon Revelle from East Carolina, Ben Morrison from Notre Dame. had they played, we probably would be like, all right, yeah, there'll be three or four first-round corners. They didn't. So maybe that sinks them into round two or maybe even round three. We've seen crazier things happen. Trey Amos, the guy that I mentioned, is not a lock to go in the first round. And in going through this cornerback class, I'm like 17 or 18 deep. I think there's players later who aren't getting a ton of publicity or hype right now. That third, fourth, fifth round, we know the Bills now have 10 picks, seven in the top 170. That I think they could go more in that direction if they do sign a veteran to play opposite Christian Benford right now.
How do you like overall what the Bills have done here in free agency? We can just like hit on the bigger names here. Obviously, Joey Bosa last night rolling in here. Chris is a famous player and been a very productive player when he's on the field, and maybe Josh Palmer too. I'd be curious for your thoughts on those signings impacting what they are looking at moving forward in the draft.
Well, I'll start with this. I did one Bills Live on Monday, and morning of, I figured, all right, start of the new. Or the legal tampering period, so to speak, but I knew the trades were going to, or all the signings were going to come flying in. I sent an email to the producer there, Jay Harris, and said, hey, this is if we have to talk about Bills-centric free agent targets. And I sent him like my top five. Michael Hoyt was number one. Like, I absolutely loved him with the Rams. I think he is the perfect. I know Eric Turner from Cover One has said he's like Lorenzo Alexander, where you line him up really anywhere and creates just more complexity for offensive lines to have to deal with than what the Bills have done just with four guys, you know, down linemen, rotate that group, and that's pretty much it. So I absolutely love that signing. They didn't pay him a ton of money. Seems like the arrow is pointing up with him. I think Joey Bosa, you guys have probably talked about it at length. I like it. I don't think it's a gigantic needle mover, but in the right niche role, like 30-40% of the snaps, that's what he's probably going to be. I think it was made sense to bolster that group. And honestly, you talked about him a few minutes ago. Probably my second favorite signing is Derek Forrest. I loved him coming out of Cincinnati. Very athletic, free safety. Like, the Bills have been interchangeable at that position. But if you want someone who can literally range from the deep middle, that's going to be a great coverage safety and still plays with a lot of grit and will fly downhill on outside runs, who tested like a premier athlete, that was Derek Forrest. I feel like to get him for essentially no money was a really nice signing. And lastly, I'll say on Josh Palmer, the ability to win against man coverage and down the field at only 25 years old, I think it's worth the contract that they gave him. Do I think that he's going to be, you know, Stephon Diggs 2.0 and just totally blow up in Buffalo? Probably not. But the Bills needed a perimeter guy who could win against man and could get downfield. And that really is where Josh Palmer excelled in a limited role behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams with the Chargers.
Chris, we will talk about Bosa at length, but only so far has it been me throwing a balloon in the air to test the idea that the Bills just not play him until week 14.
I like that idea. I think that would make a lot of sense.
So I think we will see the day.
I riddled that balloon with all the bullets I had in my gun, yeah. Oh. Chris. I hate it.
It was not pretty. It was not pretty. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. Have we talked about Travis Hunter? Really?
We've talked about him a little. I think so.
Okay. I just wonder, like, he's in all football circles, he's a great debate. And in fantasy, it's like, all right, what am I really getting here? Like, is he going to play full-time wide receiver? Is he going to play full-time both? Or is he going to play part-time one or the other? It sounds like he wants wide receiver more, but I don't know what to expect. And, of course, it will in part depend on the team. Yeah, I think – I remember now we talked about him in New England, right? Because, you know, there's a coach – you mentioned Vrabel catching touchdown passes. Yes. Now I remember.
Right.
What do you think, like, he wants – what's the question? What he wants to do, or – it's really hard, I guess, to ask how it ends without knowing the team. But I'm just so curious, because in fantasy you've got guys who think, oh, like 10th round or so he goes, like, oh, this is a steal, because everybody thinks he's the best receiver in the draft, it seems. But what if he doesn't play the position? Then where are you?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. It will. I mean, we say it every year for every prospect. You could just throw the caveat, oh, well, it depends what team he goes to for this quarterback or this whatever. But he is probably the most player that I've seen that it's going to hinge upon his productivity will hinge upon where he goes and how how open to being creative his head coach, his offensive and defensive coordinator is. I think, and what's funny is, in talking to a few scouts and then at the combine, it was, oh, he's a corner, wide receiver packages. It kind of feels like that's flipped a little.
Yeah.
And maybe Travis Hunter coming out and saying, hey, I want to play wide receiver. And how much more polished and refined he was at wide receiver this past season. The route running skill is there. He has elite level, like Marvin Harrison Jr.-esque ball skills. Like, he finds the football incredibly. There was a catch that he made early in the season last year where he's running a deep over route and gets bumped like 20 yards down the field and has to look forward to find the football to just get down underneath the pass, is not even looking at the ball, and then gets back up, finds it again, and makes a diving catch. I'm not sure which game it was in, but it was one of the better ball-tracking plays that I've like ever scouted at the wide receiver position, and he's really good after the catch. So you could say maybe it's harder to find a premier corner in the NFL than wide receiver, and I would agree with that. But I think a wide receiver moves the needle more in today's NFL that is so predicated on how many points you can score on offense. So, yes, as a fantasy angle to this, I think, yes, you have to proceed with caution because he just might not play enough. But I think even on the low end of that, where if he's only getting wide receiver package type role, snaps early on, he's going to make the most of those enough so where his head coach and his quarterback and the talk radio in that city will say, hey, this guy might need to be a legitimate full-time wide receiver.
I'm really eager to see how that all comes out in the wash once he, you know, we know where he is. Because, like, one thought I'm having as the two of you are discussing this is, like, fine, I want him to be a corner. We go three and out, then you're playing offense. But if you're on the field for more than that on defense, then that's not your series on offense. Like, and I know coaches, that's where the flexibility comes in, because you know, what I mean, a lot of people, not just coaches, I happen to be someone who likes certainty. Like, I know where I'm going and what I'm supposed to be doing and what is expected and all that. I can be kind of rigid. I don't always love being that way, but coaches certainly want things they can bank on, right? So going into a game with that vague a plan maybe takes a lot for a coach to commit to, but that would make sense just sitting here today to me. Like, quick series, great, you're fresh, go play. You know, and then maybe if you have a long possession and he's on the field for an 8-play, 10-play drive, well, then that's a series you take off on defense. You better have somebody ready to spell him.
That's a really good plan. I haven't heard that yet, but it makes sense to get that granular with it. What I'm concerned about, even more so than his conditioning, because he really did that at Colorado this past season. He played both ways essentially full-time.
Yeah.
Is, and maybe this is just thinking at it like from a galaxy brain perspective, but I'm thinking of the numbers of just how many more hits he's going to take playing corner, having to hit people, lower his head,
right,
and then take hits over the middle on digs, on wide receiver screens. When he does jump for that post route and takes a shot from the safety, he's just exposing himself to a lot more physicality in the NFL. And I'm not suggesting that if you're small, you're just more injury prone, but he's not Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones. He's like 6 foot, 185 pounds.
I mean, he won the Heisman. He's well known by now for like playing how he did both ways and everything, but he literally won the award for the best receiver in college football and best defensive player. Like,
yeah,
that's incredible.
His film really, like, I went in thinking, okay, this is going to be one of those, just he's a better athlete than everyone. They're going to throw him bubble screens and he's going to run past people down the field and that's it. But you really see route running nuance and, again, the ball tracking ability that pops up once in a while when he's playing corner and he can make a play on the ball, showed repeatedly over and over again at wide receiver, at when he was taking a hit, when the ball was behind him, when he had to dive for a football, when there was traffic. So all those things make me think this guy actually might be better at wide receiver.
Chris, good job as always. Thanks. The mock draft is up, CBSSports.com, and we will talk next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports. Might want to say a couple more things about Hunter. Not on the Bills' radar. Or is he? They need a corner and a receiver? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, and your calls are welcome at 803-0550. Sal Capaccio at 5. This is WGR.
Josh Allen is just going to spread the football around. Josh Palmer is going to fit somewhere in here.
I see him as a number three wide receiver. 1.4 yards per route run against man coverage is like low-end starter level stuff. He's 25 years old, so there's a chance he gets a little bit better.
Man, every once in a while on these big outside breaking routes or like 17-yard comebacks, he makes just incredible grabs.
Underdog, Hayden Winks and Josh Norris. That's not going to help me separate. In fact, there's now a player on the Sabres named Josh Norris. Talking about Joshua Palmer. Hayden Winks, for me, he's one of my favorites. The guy who said the thing about a number three receiver. I think they're both good. I think Hayden really knows a lot. So that's kind of how I see it. You know, that's somebody I listen to. On Palmer, and 24 hours and 10 minutes since it came down, more and more people seem to think the fit makes a lot of sense. But what is, like, the role? What is the ceiling on Palmer? Like, how important will he be?
Well, as it sits right now, pending further developments, there's more room there than there was. When we left the air right. Yesterday, Mac Hollins was still someone that I think, you know, the way we talked, the way I've talked about him, like, you know, they'll probably bring him back. It'll be something reasonable. And I don't know if he's earned a raise or whatever. And he gets 2 years and, you know, decent money for Mac Hollins to go to New England. So unless they bring in another veteran to replace him, there's one fewer eater on the outside right now, at least as far as veterans go. We know the draft is coming up here, and I don't know if his departure changes any of that equation right now. And of course, they can still sign someone to change that equation. But as it stands right now, there's even more snaps than I thought when Palmer signed here yesterday.
So what do you think?
Or agreed to sign, I guess I should say.
Yes. What do you think will happen next, or what do you think did happen? Because we both thought this player wasn't to replace Hollins, and that Hollins played a certain role that they wanted from him and that they got. You know, never going to be somebody that lights it up, but did score 5 touchdowns, big body, was reliable, and was a good blocker. So do they feel, you feel like they still think they need that? Did they want Hollins? I don't know. If anybody knows these answers, and I just didn't see it, but did they try to get him back?
I have not seen that they tried or what happened, but I could guess that they thought, all right, let's just do this again. And he got the security of a second year and a couple of extra $1 million and said, you know what, I'm going to just go ahead and take my barefoot act to New England.
See, that's maybe right. Like, what we ended up at with Palmer, and this is the conclusion I want to draw about the whole NFL right now, is that teams are not worried about the cost. $12 million a year for a guy that's caught more than 39 passes in his career one time. I mean, yikes. But, yeah, well, we need this skill set, and that's how it is now, so let's do it. Okay. If that applied to Hollins, and they liked him, locker room, the role he played, the player he is, I think, logically, they would have done the same thing. Like, what is it going to take? But, you know, he didn't take whatever they might have offered him, if they offered him anything. That didn't happen.
Right.
So I want to surmise that it wasn't as simple as that, that the Bills maybe were not as inclined to pursue him, or if they wanted to at all. I don't know.
Maybe they just felt like doing what New England did for him was not warranted.
Right.
They got a value. Like Sal will always talk about, they feel like they have a handle on what they're willing to do, and they're not willing to go past it. So for 25-year-old Palmer, you know, fine. We'll extend this, and this is a player that maybe they view as still ascending, and certainly is, to me, a better idea to be on the field, you know, more. I think One of the best things that I think that came out of yesterday, you know, whatever amount of a loss Hollins will be spiritually to that team and on the field and the role he played, special teams and the blocking and the run game and all that stuff, I'm optimistic about him not being the guy that's on the field more than any other receiver on the team. And again, I might be guilty of totally disregarding and overlooking the stuff that he did for them that helped them be what they were last year. Who knows? Maybe if they don't find a way to replace him, maybe at the trade deadline next year they go looking for a big-bodied outside receiver who can cover punts for them because they're missing Mac Hollins like they were missing Stephon Diggs and they went and got Amari Cooper at the trade deadline last year. But the opportunity to have better pass catchers on the field is there for them now and without Hollins here. And so I was never going to be throwing myself in front of a moving train if Mac Hollins was going to be back on the team. But I'm not the least bit distressed that he's gone. I think they have an opportunity to get better.
I think, you know, Palmer is interesting enough. Hollins leaves, and we're still in the middle of it. I mean, it's the second day, so we're maybe even on the early side, although a lot happens right away. You know, there will maybe be new developments here. I think maybe Cook is the most interesting player right now and where that ends up. That Cook started at, you know, I'm sort of doing you here, but $15 million, you know, that's insane, and that'll never happen, right? Just like, what? And then you had, you know, free agency kind of started, and we talked to people who were like, oh, it's not that crazy.
Barkley gets a contract extension.
Barkley, right. And I just wonder where that ends up. Like, could it really end up at that the Bills just
roll over for him?
No, the opposite.
Okay. I would say it's more likely they dig in than roll over, but that doesn't mean I think that's that likely. I just, of those two choices, right? Pay him what he wants because he's important and he scored 16 touchdowns for us last year. So, you know, harmony and everything. You know, fine. We'll just, what do you want? Versus, you're under contract for another year. We've got the franchise tag here at our disposal, and it's a running back rich draft. Dare us. I know how that sounds, and I'm not suggesting that that's the path they should take, but of those two choices, the dig in to me is more realistic, I think. I just can't imagine them giving him whatever he wants.
I don't think, to me, that's not, I don't want to go that far, whatever he wants, but would you not predict that they make a deal for like 3 years or so, probably more than two? And the money looks great for Cook. If he never tweeted $15 million, and the result is like a three-year, $32 million contract or something like that, what's Palmer, 36? Up to 36?
Yeah. That's really probably two for 20 or something. Like I could see that. That was already, I think Mike Jannetty with SpotTrack, like the day that this all started happening, maybe after we had him on that day, had like, here's how you could put a 3 year deal together that will look like, finger quotes, look like $15 million a year, but is really actually this, and maybe that satisfies the player. Sure, that outcome could still come. I'm just.
It's not the likeliest outcome? I think it is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's more likely than either of the two extremes. I was just saying, of the two extremes, them stonewalling to me is more realistic than them just rolling on their bellies and saying, oh, just please pet us.
Oh, have you ever seen anybody do that?
Yes.
If you have a dog, you might have seen that
really sad.
Pretty much all the time. Margo's in her little bed there, and I come over, and her eyes sort of wake, you know, sort of blink. Okay, I'm awake. Right to her back. This is what I want, and you're going to do it. You're going to give me what I want. You're going to scratch my belly. That's what we do. That's the arrangement. Yeah. You saw the video. I tweeted it. We're teaching her backgammon.
Right.
Teaching my dog backgammon.
You got to figure out a way for her to get that second die out of the glass, out of the cup that she tips over.
That was a first effort. That was right there last night was a first-time effort.
But maybe a different shaped cup would help too, perhaps.
It was a wine glass.
Yeah.
A plastic wine glass. So you're right about that. I had the good felt official backgammon thrower. My wife had the, you know, she was fine. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, you sit down to play a game, and here comes Margo. She just sits there and puts her paws up on the table because I want to be up there. I want in. I want to get up on, get into this action. So, you know, she gets up on your lap, and that's not good enough. Now she wants to roll. She wants to roll some bones.
Mm-hmm. You better look out. This could lead to trouble.
It's a gateway.
She gets her own DK horse account. What could be in real trouble.
How far away could that be? Margo has a DraftKings account.
She's going to be looking for that juice.
Yep. You like backgammon? Do you ever play backgammon?
I haven't played backgammon in years. We played when the boys were little. We used to play pretty regularly.
It's our number one at home now.
But I can't remember the last time my wife and I played, and the kids, we probably haven't played in more than 10 years.
It's great. It's a great game. Yeah, it is. I think it is a great game.
I want to say I think it's fine.
It's better. It's better than fine. It's backgammon versus James Cook. Which is better?
Which is closer to fine?
Who is the running back of backgammon's? Najee, maybe you would say. Najee Harris, the only running back in the league to have played 17 games a year for 4 years. He played them all. Goes to the Chargers. And I wonder if he'll get, like, a bell cow role. Probably, they'll probably have someone else.
I would think they'll have a pass-catching back.
Maybe Vidal, maybe a rookie. Gus Edwards is out. Dobbins sure. won't be back.
What's a lot of carries for a running back these days? 250? With that coach and that coordinator, right? Roman is the coordinator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting the ball a billion times.
250. I've got at least 10 guys last year that had that many or more. Two more had exactly 250. So 12, 250 and up, including Harris.
All right. Well, I'd hammer the over there if I can get that action.
Which means you want to draft him. Like sure. In round eight?
Sure.
A guy that's going to get 280 carries on a Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh team? Let's go. That is a steal. Joe, speaking of the Chargers, our guest today at 4, Joe...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Reedy from the AP. What about Palmer? What about Najee Harris and LA's season? We'll get into some things there. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Sal today as well. This is WGR.
It is a bargain. I understand we see that $250 million in guarantees, and it sounds like a lot. He came in average per year under Dak Prescott, who signed his deal last year. Josh Allen absolutely could have agitated for more. $55 million, or what sounds like a lot, that's not going to be a lot in a couple of years. He did that to help his team build, and if they don't build a better team around him, I would argue that the team, the GM, the front office, deserves a lot of criticism because they put pressure on themselves with this latest extension.
Mina Kimes. Hear, hear. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, 803-0550. We talked some James Cook today. What will it look like if he's not around? I think it's not likely that he won't be around. I mean, these things get worked out usually. It'd be pretty stunning if that dragged on into the, you know, even into the preseason, maybe. Certainly the regular season. Certainly the playoffs. Definitely the playoffs.
Yeah.
But What about it?
I think it's interesting to consider whether or not something will be done by the draft. Like, part of what we've talked about today is like what would it feel like? What will it look like? We talked about it just you and I, and then with Sal as well. And you know, I don't think there's ever been a situation since Bean and McDermott have been here where their backfield looks more all set than it does right now, assuming Cook either on his existing contract, and I don't know, maybe to some extent or another upset about that, but still not holding up, it comes in and plays on it and then becomes a free agent. But if they have their guys, like they don't need a guy really. The roles are pretty well defined now, you know, unless they want to get better. But I think Ty Johnson, on a very reasonable extension, showed to be a valuable piece for them last year in the role that he was in. I don't see any reason why you would be eager to tip that over at this point. So I think the draft gets here and nothing has happened with Cook. Let's say he continues every week or two, you know, tweeting something or other about, like yesterday was, there was I saw on Twitter that on his Instagram, he had like the spinning wheel for waiting, right? Like something to load, waiting for something to load.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was on his Instagram store, whatever. Are they stories there? I don't even know. I don't know the lingo. I'm not an Instagram guy.
He seems to be really enjoying himself.
Yeah. So that keeps happening. The Bills don't say anything, and the draft comes, and they do on Saturday at some point, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever round, they grab a guy. And on paper, he sounds like, this guy ran like 4.45, and he's, you know, 5.9 and 2.10, and, you know, he can catch the ball, and like, I don't know.
No kidding. That will be what happens if they do it.
And like, it'll be hard to avoid that. I said it to Sal, like, as much as, you know, it doesn't have to mean anything. They could want to improve on Ty Johnson or Ray Davis even after 1 year. Who knows? In a running back rich draft, it might make sense to just take a guy, and even if he doesn't contribute for a year or two, you've got a guy that's talented that you know you can eventually elevate at some point. But still, the specter of it will immediately go to, they haven't done anything with Cook yet. So maybe that would be a sign. I'm not saying it has to be, but it's a possibility. They could want to say, oh, yeah, to some extent. As much as they respect the player and the work and everything, it's always been odd to me that he went right to 11 on this.
Yeah.
Right from the start with seemingly no provocation.
Or right to 15 if you prefer.
Right, fine. Yeah, I'm Spinal Tap as the show ever sounded older. But
somebody heard you and was like, no, I thought it was 15.
Yeah, right. Thank you. You get the point.
I loved it.
And now everyone does, I hope. It didn't seem like there was any provocation for that. It was just him saying, like racing to, I should get this. I'm this good. That's the market. And like, I don't disrespect that, but it just came out of nowhere. And I don't know. I know teams, I don't know the Bills for sure, because again, they haven't had a lot of this, but I could see a team getting aggravated by that. Being like, what are you're going to push us around now?
I wonder what they think. What is any of it really meant for, right? Like, you're talking to your fans. Anybody following James Cook likes him. I'm sure every time he tweets, fans line up to tell him how great he is, like how worth it he is.
Sure. There's always going to be a portion of the fan base that's going to push back at that, though.
Well, that's right.
Right? That because, you know, you referenced it the other, you know, maybe the last time we talked about this last week one day. There's always a certain part of any fan base that the minute one of the guys on the team raises his hand and says, hey, where's mine? Some fans are just like, hey, you should shut up. You're lucky to be here. You signed the contract. Like all that sort of rhetoric. People are dug in on that. I don't know what kind of numbers they are of Bills fans percentage-wise, but I know they're out there because we're sort of the clearinghouse for them. Either on the air or, you know, social media.
But I guess to the point, like, what is he accomplishing?
Right. I don't know.
What is it meant for? What does it do for anything? Does it help? It can't help.
I can't imagine it helps.
You know?
Like the Bills have, maybe the Bills were thinking about a contract extension for him to begin with, and maybe they had a number in their head, 10 million. 12 million even. I don't know. That's pretty high, but still, 10 million. And they haven't said a word to his agent or him about it, but as they're ramping into off-season mode, looking at the guys that are eligible for extensions and trying to establish their values, what's our plan here? You know, what kind of path are we going to go down with each of these guys? They arrive at a value there, and then, you know, a day or two later, there's James Cook with the eyeball emojis and $15 million. Like, oh, I guess we're going to have to pay him $15 million. No, they absolutely do not do that.
No, when this started, it was like eye-popping. Speaking of eyeballs, it was an eye-popping request or demand or whatever it was. Now, however long later, with Barkley's deal, had that even happened yet?
No.
Other signings, like really at all positions, like just a balloon with new cap room and new money, makes his number less insane.
Right.
It makes it, you know, and that's also the conversation we had with Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack right after that, which was, you know, what did he say? Something like 3 for 30, that kind of thing is doable here. His timing is good in the market, and that's not out of line, really. So that is different for me now in terms of like reacting to what Cook apparently wants, but I don't know what he's doing. Like, it's not like he's doing that much, but just kind of like right there. I didn't know there was something else yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Just, okay, well, I'm sure they haven't forgotten about you. I'm guessing that you've heard from them.
I'm assuming that whatever that was intentional. I mean, I suppose you could accidentally post something to social media of a screen that is just, you know, the whatever, the wheel spinning, and like that was a, like, a, you know, a pocket dial or something.
Not at his age.
I don't know.
At his age. At my age, not at his age. I could do it.
I mean, I did get got by a Dane Jackson tweet that was 4 years old or something. So I mean, I could get tripped up.
I'm quite familiar with that spinning circle. But I don't believe I've ever posted it.
No, unwittingly.
How would you even do that?
Or as a plan of any kind.
Right. No, it would only be as a plan. Only would happen if I was trying to say something, which is probably what happened here. Rich is next. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, good afternoon / evening.
Stop. What? What?
It's not even 5 o'clock, Rich. After five, I could give you evening, but I'm sorry. It's going to be light until 7 o'clock here. I can't give you evening.
4:43 is evening for you.
That's why I said slash. I said slash.
There's no slash. I'm objecting to the slash, Rich. That's the point.
Gentlemen, I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I listen to you guys as soon as I get home from work because it desensitizes me from work. But the James Cook incident. I think, he had a good above average year, very good year, but I think he's outpriced himself compared to like a Barkley. We have dire needs at other positions. I don't want to give him 12 to 15 million. You said it best, I think, Bulldog. 10 maybe is the ceiling. If worse comes to worse, and this is what I am not liking right now, he's starting to become social media. I don't want distraction. If he really wants the money that he wants, just, we already got Ray Davis. We got draft a running back in the fourth, fifth round to supplement. I don't want to say let him go, but I don't want to give him the king's ransom. There's other positions that need to be addressed. Running back is not number one.
Okay. Thank you. Fine.
Yeah, I respect all that.
The idea that, I have to say, somehow his being on Instagram is a problem for, like, what, his teammates or something is nonsense.
Right. I don't think it's a distraction. It becomes a distraction if and when he's not here.
It's also March 13th.
Right.
What he's priced himself out of at this point is literally nothing. But, assessment of the value of the position and all the rest, okay.
That's why I think the draft is sort of a line of demarcation. Like, if it could be a sign that the Bills are worried about it or digging in, or it could not be. But, it'll be hard to avoid that being a possibility anyway, that they're nervous about it, not willing to go where he wants to go and bracing for what it could mean. Certainly if they do anything before the Saturday of the draft, then that even gets amplified even more, right? I mean, if they draft one of these day two running backs or something, then it's on. Then they're going down the road Rich is suggesting. I don't know what they end up doing with Cook if they were to do that, but you're drafting somebody on Friday at the NFL draft, you're replacing James Cook, I think.
At least partly. I mean, that's what they did by drafting him.
Right.
You were going to move him in on your group. I mean, that you're not going to just... A guy you pick in round two is not going to be inactive, unless he's terrible. So at least you're moving in on him, which I would say I'd be up for, without a contract dispute, I'd be up for that if they didn't have Davis and now also Johnson. Like, I'd be up for that. Mm. I'd want that. Not necessarily the second round or even the second day, but that would be cool to me. There's so many interesting players. I always want, in a vacuum, perfect team build. My starting running back is not a first round pick or even necessarily a second round pick. He's somebody, that's cheaper, and then I'm just going to churn him, right? I'm going to use him up. So as bad as that sounds, that's what I think I'd want to have on my perfect team build. And, he wasn't that expensive in terms of draft capital. He's been good for them. But when you start to talk, in my opinion, you agree, I think mostly. Some people don't. They think he's better than this. But the idea of replacing him, I'm not daunted in the least. If it's somebody new, somebody they have, are the Bills really going to suffer as an offense if they had someone of comparable quality? but not somebody you'd necessarily say is better than Cook. No. And we kind of know this because of the years previous to him, when they didn't have a guy
right.
who's been as productive as Cook anyway, and they were also great. So that does have limitations. If your wide receivers aren't great, then your running back isn't good, and your tight end, all of it, there are limits to that. It can't just all be, I've got right. Josh Allen, end of discussion.
They were a much more pass-heavy team when Devin Singletary was their number one running back, but they had Stephon Diggs on their team at that time. It was a very different thing than where they're at now. They're more run-heavy now. That might lead you to think that they will, you know, value paying a second contract. Like, I kind of thought, really, what I advocated for and what I thought they were doing was what you just said. Although, you know, it went up by round, right? Third round, second round, now fourth round last year. I'm Singletary, Moss, Cook, eventually Ray Davis. They're bringing guys in, and to me, you do that because you want to be ready to not have to give out the second contract to a running back. And we'll see. I mean, this would be the year to do that if you were going to keep doing that. But again, Cook complicated things by having such an excellent year, which is another reason why I'm reluctant to dive in and just give him close to what he wants off of that year. Because you shouldn't think you're buying 18 touchdowns a year when you sign him. But that's what you're negotiating off of, and that's a tough place to be, I think.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this. This is WGR.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.